Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Alice G. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, March 1st, 2022, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page XVI, second paragraph, starting with "This physician had repeatedly tried," ending on the next page, "Vital to permanent recovery," that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Lorraine N. on the 12 Steps, Leslie M. on the 12 Traditions, Laura R. is our reader of the text, Dana P., Stephanie L., Jody E. is our newcomer greeter, and Eileen M. on announcements. The reference number for February 28th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,610. That's 18610. And the reference number for today, Tuesday, March 1st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,615. That's 18615. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 steps for us, please.
Hi, thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. I'm Lorraine N., recovered compulsive eater for today in Oregon. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to read the steps, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine N. I will now ask Leslie M. to read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Our every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service today, and I pass.
Thank you, Leslie M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page XVI, the second paragraph, which starts with "This physician had," and I will ask Laura R. to begin reading for us, please.
Thanks, Alice. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. This physician had repeatedly tried spiritual means to resolve his alcoholic dilemma, but had failed. But when the broker gave him Dr. Silkworth's description of alcoholism and its hopelessness, the physician began to pursue the spiritual remedy for his malady with a willingness he had never before been able to muster. He sobered, never to drink again, up to the moment of his death in 1950. This seemed to prove that one alcoholic could affect another as no non-alcoholic could. It also indicated that strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, was vital to permanent recovery. Great to be here this morning with all of you. How many things did I try before I got into Overeaters Anonymous, and it failed? Spiritual therapy, you know, whatever it was, diets, you know, it didn't work. But I love, you know, in the paragraph above it, even the broker, Bill, was trying to get people sober through telling them about his spiritual experience, like, oh my gosh, it's God, you know, and people are like, okay, whatever. And he was failing over and over again. But when Dr. Silkworth told Bill, like, hey, tell him about the disease of alcoholism, the hopelessness of this disease, that you have a body of an alcoholic and a mind of an alcoholic, and what that means. And what's so great is when Bill told Bob, hey, dude, you're screwed, you know, like, we can't outrun this thing. Like, this is, you know, let me see if this is your experience. And he gives him countless things about, you know, Bill's experience to Bob, like, oh yeah, that's me too. And Bob got it from his head to his heart, like, holy smokes, I am hopeless. And now I can grab onto that God thing with, like, the willingness that I need. Like, I have no hope apart from higher power, and I've got to turn my will and my life over to this power. to really understand that I, you know, for me and being compulsive overeating, that once I take certain substances into my body and I need to get rid of all of them, like not just the, you know, the cookie or the ice cream, but all that encompasses that ingredient. Whoa, like that was huge light bulb for me, because that's why I kept triggering myself, because I kept ingesting something into my system. And then thinking that, like, you know, I don't know, just didn't understand the disease concept. And so around overeaters, you know, being an overeater. So what's so beautiful is once I did do that, I was able to realize that I had to turn that over. Like, I just cannot keep doing that. Here, God, take it. And then all of a sudden, just like Bob, you know, well, it took me a minute more than Bob, but he's sober, never to drink up again from the moment until 1950 of his death. What a miracle. And then again, to be, you know, it says in the working with others that intense work with another alcoholic is so vital for our recovery. So we can see that here. And I just can, like, you know, continuing paragraphs, it's so excited to see these guys go to work. But we'll read that tomorrow. So can't wait to hear what everyone else has to say. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Laura R. I will now take a list of names of those who would like to share. And please remember that although we value your experience, strength, and hope, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you all could speak one at a time, I will take a list of names of who would like to share.
Kristen R.
Krista R.
Kristen.
Shanna,
yeah.
C. Shanna C.
Aaliyah A.
Aaliyah A.
Linda B.
Linda, got you.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Robin P., okay. All right, we'll start with that lineup. If I mispronounce your name, please correct me when you share, and let us know where you're from as well. But what I have so far is Krista R., Shanna C., Aaliyah A., Linda B., and Robin P. And Chris, I think it's Krista R. Please unmute and share with us.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Kristen R. in Virginia, and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. And what jumped out at me from this passage was a sentence, a willingness he had never had before. I thought this piece was so interesting because it says he had tried religious approaches before. He had tried spiritual approaches, but the willingness is something that perhaps was missing for him. And I think that's been missing for me too. The willingness to get up early and sit with my higher power and pray and meditate, read and write. I haven't been doing it. The willingness to do my 11th step at night, haven't been doing it. And I can feel the difference. I'm more obsessed with the food. I broke my abstinence last night. I compulsively ate. And the idea of service just scares me. So I just have to wake up and recognize this is a new day and that I can pray for the willingness as I never have before. I can keep on trying. And I'm just very grateful to be here, and I'm grateful for this program, and I'm grateful that I get to come back even after picking up and no one's going to tell me to get out. Very grateful for that. And if anyone wants to make an outreach call today, I'm in the directory. Thank you very much. Have a good day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kristen R. from Virginia. Shanna C., please unmute and share with us. Star one.
Good morning. This is Shanna C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. I identify so much with the reading because I was one who had repeatedly tried spiritual means to solve all kinds of problems. Back long before I even entered the rooms of 12-step recovery, that's what I was attempting, but I couldn't quite nail down what my problem was. I mean, I had so many problems, I despaired of ever solving them. And to say that I didn't have spiritual experiences when seeking the God of my understanding through other spiritual means is would be a lie. Because I did. I had absolute definite answers to prayer. I had spiritual experiences, all these weird things that were happening that, oh my God, I'd pray and things would happen. It's like, holy, you know, I can't make this stuff up. But the experiences that I was having were, I mean, they weren't enough to overcome compulsive overeating. And what the steps have done as a result of another compulsive overeater with whom I could identify the problem, but also see something miraculous had happened in that person. And she led me through the steps out of the big book. What the steps had done for me was it put me through this humbling process where I could gain access to the power needed to be relieved of the obsession, because all I knew, the old ideas that I was carrying with me, was that you're supposed to do this yourself, that God doesn't really care about this. This is something that as a human you should be able to do. I didn't know I was bodily and mentally different from a normal eater. And so anyway, through the process of the steps, I saw that I was bodily and mentally different through the, you know, understanding it as a disease, and that this God of my understanding that was, you know, answering these prayers on these other, is more than willing to help me with this too. Who knew? Thank God for that. And so anyway, the disease beat me into a state of reasonableness. God provided the person there that I could identify with, took me through the steps, and by his grace and mercy, I'm abstinent again today so far. Thank God for that. And thank God I can share this stuff. And when I got through some ninth step stuff and got into 10, 11, and 12, I tried to complicate it. My sponsor said, look, if you want to keep what you have, you got to give it away. And here's some things you can do. And so that's what I've been doing. And she kept it real simple for me. All right. Thanks for listening to me. And I appreciate all you guys for being here when I needed you. And I hope I can be helpful in whatever way I can. Thanks. That's all I have.
Thank you, Shanna C. from Tennessee. Aliyah A., please star one to unmute and share with us.
Yes, hi. My name is Aliyah A. I'm from Montreal, Canada, recovering compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be here. So what stood up for me in this paragraph is the spiritual remedy for my malady. And, you know, I pursued this spiritual malady. It's a journey for me. I grew spiritually. I've been in OA for 5 years. 5.5, and I've always had the willingness, you know, to keep working on this program. And it's always on God's timing when I get spiritual awakenings. And this morning, even only this morning, while praying and meditating and doing the two-way prayer, I got a spiritual awakening. And it's miraculous, you know, with all the clarity that I get now that the food is down. And you know, this is all because I was working with other alcoholics. My sponsors, you know, they've been my spiritual guides. And, you know, someone recently, I was having a bad day and they told me, yeah, you work so much on yourself and on OA, but, you know, I don't really see the progress. But I didn't let that affect me because I see the progress, the spiritual progress, okay? And of course, there are things I need to work on, you know, and I took the feedback, but I'm putting on the hard work. And this is what the strenuous work they're talking about here, you know. And when I looked at the dictionary for that definition, it says requiring or using great exertion. And this is the action after action, which I take every day, you know, to access my higher power so that he can help me, you know, to get the clarity. And this is what this program is for me, is really to keep taking, to doing strenuous work, you know, to see the results. To work with another to work with other alcoholics, you know, whether it's a sponsee or a sponsor, and this is so vital to permanent recovery, you know. So now I'm about to start sponsoring somebody, and this is, you know, for me so exciting because I'm finishing step 12, and it was really hard work, but it really paid back so much because of the spiritual growth and the spiritual remedy. So I'm so grateful to be in this program, so grateful for all my OA fellows who have helped me tremendously with this journey, my sponsors, these calls. I mean, it's really a miraculous program. So grateful to be here. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Aliyah A. from Canada. Linda B., please star one to unmute and share with us.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for your service, Alice. My name is Linda B. from Ontario, Canada, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. This morning, I'd like to share on the spiritual remedy for his malady with a willingness he had never before been able to muster. Recently, I've been really working at the God, understanding the God of my understanding, using the set-aside prayer and just forgetting everything I thought I knew or knew about my higher power. And I had a greater willingness to do this. And it really has made a tremendous difference in my recovery, brought me so much more humility and faith and belief in the God of my understanding and trust. Trust was always such a big one with me. And now I'm looking at the strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, was vital. It's not, if you feel like it. It's not, well, when it's convenient. It's not, oh, maybe next week. It's vital. It's vital, and it's my next step. It's vital to my permanent recovery, and I want permanent recovery. I desire permanent recovery, and I'm moving forward with humility and grace, and that's my next step, is to experience the gift. I see it as a gift to be able to work with another compulsive overeater so that I can pass the message on and also selfishly have this permanent recovery. And with that, I'll pass, and thank you for the opportunity to share.
Thank you, Linda B. from Ontario, Canada. Robin P. from Costa Rica, star one to unmute, and please share with us.
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And I was also thinking about that spiritual remedy. I tried so many remedies. And some of them were religious, but they weren't spiritual. And I'm so grateful today that this is a spiritual remedy that actually works. And I was thinking that, you know, I can't, God can. And those are the first three steps. And just, you know, focusing on the steps, I feel so powerless over what's happening in the world. And I feel so powerless over people, places, and things. And all I can do is turn my will and my life over to the care of God and work these steps and carry this message to others. And that's my remedy, you know. And I just get to follow success. You know, I've been there were some things that have been going on with people's health in the U.S., family and friends, and I just get to surrender all and just be of service. And I know this, what, you know, when I'm feeling troubled by something, I have a solution today. I live in 10, 11, and 12, and I'm so grateful for my sponsor and for fellows and for people that I sponsor, and just the whole thing works if I work it. And I just get to be daily vigilant, focus on the solution and not the problem. And I'm saying this to myself because I needed to hear it today, because I felt very distraught about some people who have been having so many health issues in the U.S. and some people who have died, and I just feel very upset. And I just get to surrender and focus on my recovery and how I can be of service. So God bless everybody with a really blessed, very abstinent day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin P. from Costa Rica. I will now take another list of names, and just a reminder that we are on page XVI, the second paragraph, disposition had repeatedly, ending on the next page, vital to permanent recovery, that paragraph only. And if you could give me your name one at a time, that would be great. I'll take another list.
Golda H.
Chaya P.
Deb E.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Was that Deb?
Yeah, Deb E.
Deb E, okay.
Stephanie L.
Stephanie L.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Kelly H.
All right, I think we'll stop there, and I have a lineup, good lineup, thank you all, starting with Golda H, Haya T, Deb E, Stephanie L, Bruce E, and Kelly H. And Golda, will you please star one to unmute and share with us, please?
Thank you so much. This is new for me to share on these meetings, and I'm new to a vision for you. And I'm very grateful. I'm not new to the steps or the big book. And what I just want to share, what's jumping out at me, is what happened to me also, that physician had repeatedly tried spiritual means, but it failed. But when he got the description of alcoholism and its hopelessness, that's when he began to pursue the spiritual remedy. That's what I'm reading today from the text. And I became religious. I love my religion, and I consider my religion spiritual. To me, there is no separation, really. So when I do my religious practice, I'm doing something spiritual also, and it's very meaningful. But it couldn't keep me from the food. It couldn't touch my food addiction because I didn't understand the problem. That the problem is the way addiction works, you know, the mental obsession and physical allergy. And I also didn't really understand that this was life or death. So to me, this idea that it's hopeless, it's hopeless means I could die from it. And that, then I needed a solution that's focused on a spiritual solution that's designed, custom made to save my life from this particular problem. And so my religious practice definitely supports my recovery and works with it beautifully. But I cannot stay abstinent unless I'm working the steps, which are the medicine. That is the medicine that will let me, like people have been describing beautifully, the humility. I'll get the humility to be able to let God in, and then God keeps me abstinent. So I really appreciate this reading, and thank you for letting me share.
Golda, can you share with us where you're from, please? I didn't catch that.
Golda, I'm sorry, yes. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, you want to know where I am? Is that what you said?
Yeah, if somebody wants to find you on the register on Vision for You.
Yeah, I'm not yet on the register. I'm going to work on that in the next few days, but I'm in Israel, and I'll put myself on.
All right, thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks for your
share.
All right, Haya T, star one to unmute and share with us, please.
Thank you so much. Hang on a second. Hi, everybody. This is Haya. It's actually P, as in party.
And I live in Colorado, and I'm back in Colorado after being on the East Coast for a few weeks. So I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor, and really glad to be here this morning. I really, really related to the person who shared before me. I actually became observant in my religion as a result of the steps. But what's interesting is while it worked in that direction, meaning the steps brought me back, just like the big book says, for many people, but it on its own was not enough for me to sustain permanent recovery. And my experience has been because of what those last lines talk about. Just strenuous, constant work with other compulsive overeaters. And that is such a spiritual practice of passing it on, of sharing with another. And that's really what happened. And a couple of women in the program who I really respect their recovery and their incredible work with others on one-on-one as well as in a broad sense, talk about the two things that we need is our love and proper information, the correct information. And those two together are what allow me to, be graced with this, with recovery and the ability to pass it on. Love, love and tolerance of others. We make a friend. Sponsorship is not about bossing people around. It's about sharing with others and treating people with dignity. But correct information. And it's so important to have that correct information. And the correct information is that just like an alcoholic cannot have alcohol in any form, for me as a compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor, I have to refrain from any foods that are alcoholic for me, meaning they trigger that allergy, and also behaviors that get me going into a certain direction. And also understanding that my memory is broken when it comes to food. I have lots of memory. I can activate memory on all sorts of things. I know not to put my hand on a hot stove, although I do stick it in the oven occasionally and burn myself. I don't know why I can't use pot holders. Thank you. But understanding what our problem is and what the solution is. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Haya P. from Colorado. Deb E., star one to unmute and share with us, please.
Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I'm always so self-conscious when I join a meeting late like I am now. I have no idea if I'm repeating something that someone else already said, but there are so many great words in here in the second half of the paragraph that I wanted to focus on. So the word strenuous, it also indicated that strenuous work. This is not easy stuff. This is not like just like a quick little fix that we do to be recovered. It's hard work. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of hours. That for me personally, I really enjoy. I enjoy it. Some stuff's really hard to do. But in general, it's hard, but it's good. It doesn't feel like I'm dragging my feet through it. I thoroughly enjoy doing it, but it does take a lot of effort and it does take a lot of commitment and discipline. And just this morning, I was experiencing what it says here that, this seemed to prove that one alcoholic could affect another as no non-alcoholic could. And as wonderful as professionals are and as necessary as they are sometimes, depending on our experience, I love this reminder that like just having the experience of being a compulsive overeater puts me in a place where I can understand in a way that someone else who's not just can't. They just can't understand. And that's, I like having that reminder, because for someone who's, you know, who's had a history of very low self-esteem and kind of wondering, like, how, like, oh, other people, because they have some degree in something that I think is better than me, are just better than me in general, that I like this reminder that I don't need any kind of qualification other than the fact that I identify as a compulsive overeater, and that I can be very helpful just with that. And then I was looking at the word permanent, and I looked it up, and it says lasting or intended to last or remain unchanged indefinitely. I feel like this is another one of those things that at first it made my eyes go wide, kind of question, like, permanent recovery. We're supposed to recover one day at a time, you know, but it's that continuous work on a daily basis that kind of makes it permanent in that sense. And just makes it last and continue on. And I think I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb E. from Israel. Stephanie L., star one to unmute and share with us, please.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And wow, the shares have been so amazing. I think everybody has said what was on my mind. But a couple things that I just want to, I guess, reiterate. The first one is that the first thing that really stuck out to me is what the first sentence. You know, Dr. Bob tried spiritual means. He was in the Oxford group. He was a religious man. But it did not fix his alcohol problem. He could not stop drinking. And, you know, I have always believed in God. But for some reason, that wasn't enough. And, you know, I think someone already shared, the book tells us that we have to have proper information, but also someone once said, and I have it written in my book, prayer without action is begging. And that always really, stuck out to me, that, you know, I can pray, and I can, you know, and I have to connect with the God of my understanding, because I don't have the power to fight this illness, this disease on my own. So I have to pray. However, I also have to take action. God isn't going to do for me what I can do for myself. And that action is very clear in this book. I have to work these steps. I have to connect with that power. And then I have to, as it says in the last sentence, strenuously work with other compulsive overeaters. And then it tells me that recovery can be permanent. It says right here, was vital to permanent recovery. And I am a relapse survivor. I have had periods of being recovered and periods of relapse. And so I always like scoff a little bit inside at that. Wow, permanent recovery. But the book says I can have permanent recovery if I continue to do this work. And the work today as a recovered woman is enlarge my spiritual, you know, life, connect with God on a daily basis, continue to grow in that relationship like any other relationship in my life, and then strenuously work with others. My sponsor told me early on, it doesn't have to be convenient. In fact, if your service work and your work with sponsees is always convenient, you're not doing enough. So God and work with others, and then I get to live free of this merciless obsession one day at a time. You know, I can't look at it and go, oh, I'm permanently recovered. It's like, no, today, what am I going to do for my recovery so that I can live free? I can live a free woman. And that is pretty amazing. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Stephanie L. from Southern California. Bruce E., star one to unmute and share with us, please.
Yeah, hi, it's Bruce E. I'm recovered in Fort Myers, Florida area, and really glad to be on the line. Appreciate everybody that's doing service today and on the line. Yeah, that permanent deal is, that's an interesting word, isn't it? And I look for that in spiritual means, its first, last sentence here was the permanent recovery. And the first sentence is he repeatedly tried spiritual means to resolve his alcoholic problem, but had failed. And I did that for years and years. I tried the church. I've had my hands laid on me by the best of them. And it didn't give me that permanent recovery until I got in this, in here, and got a sponsor, and a recovered sponsor, started working through the steps using the big book, and I got that, I got recovered. The spiritual means, well, the physician tried all those same things I tried, I guess, you know, the prayer and everything else, and that had all failed. And then the broker, Bill, gave him Dr. Silkworth's description of alcoholism and his hopelessness. I remember Dr. Silkworth told Bill that he was a very sick man. So he learned that from Dr. Silkworth, I believe. And Dr. Silkworth also told him about the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, and I learned that in vision, and that made sense because, man, I had to get rid of those alcoholic foods because that was not working for me. That was bringing on the allergy and later the obsession of the mind. And I was hopeless too, and I think Bob needed to hear that. Then the physician began to pursue the spiritual remedy for his malady with a willingness. So he started to become willing then. And he sobered up. It worked. This is, I think, Bill tried it on a lot of people previously. And bang, this is the one that it really worked for. And I had a lot of sponsors before I got recovered. And they all were very good and very thoughtful and very helpful to me and very sincere. But I needed one that would sit down and work through the steps using this book. That's what really brought my permanent recovery. I'm very grateful today for that, and grateful to be on the line, and grateful to people here. And thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. from Florida. Kelly H., star one to unmute and share with us, please.
Good morning. This is Kelly H. from beautiful North Carolina, and I am a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, everyone, for your shares and your service. And this paragraph is just blowing me away because it outlines for me that if the spiritual pursuit is to become a catalyst to recovery, it usually is because it was introduced to us by another. I don't know of anybody who just got sober just because they were already religious or they had an epiphany or some experience. It's interesting to me that this paragraph shows the concept was introduced by another. But if it is to be effective as a catalyst, it must begin with my own willingness. So I'm taking note of that. If I'm to play the part, if I refuse to do step 12, then another compulsive overeater cannot have a step one. If I am reading this correctly, that is the social contract for recovery. If I choose not to do step 12, then another person who is going to die in this disease cannot have their step one. Secondly, the word strenuous work. I am about a year and a month or two into this program, loving it. Oh my gosh, so much lighter, so much healthier, can do life on a treadmill now. And there is a big difference between what strenuous work on a treadmill would have meant for me day one versus what it means now. And my process in recovery, that word strenuous means something to me because I can go through all the outside issues that make my 168 hours a week crazy busy. So the idea at first of actually being in this program and doing strenuous work terrified me. What could I compromise from my kids' multiple doctor's appointments or my minimum amount of time I get each week with my spouse? How could I possibly squeeze in the strenuous work of recovery? Well, it's simple. I just do it. And if that means that I'm doing 5 minutes on a hill on a treadmill versus 45 minutes on a flat plane going a higher mile per hour, that's the difference. I just did what I could do. So I think I've heard that expression, if you can't do something, do what you can. I think it's been more eloquently stated elsewhere. But I just want to say that to people and to myself, remind myself that when life gets a little crazy, abide by the crazy, but then honor what I can do. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly H. from North Carolina. We have time for one more share, if anyone would like to take that. Star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Carla in California.
Go ahead, Carla, and share with us, please.
Yeah, I'm new to Vision for You, but I just love what I'm hearing. I'm grateful today and recovered one day at a time. And what is happening for me is, you know, I'm getting the help that I need from my sponsor. I was holding on to resentment and just doing the work, you know, I get the results and just so grateful. And I am on the directory and I love outreach calls. So I would, just appreciate anyone giving me a call. Thanks for letting me share, Carly in California.
Thank you, Carly in California. We have time for one more share if someone would like to take it. Star one to unmute.
Hello, Christina in Massachusetts.
Christina in Massachusetts. Go ahead and share with us, please, Christina.
Thanks so much. Hi, everyone. Christina in Massachusetts. Christina M., compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for hearing my voice. I wasn't going to share, but the shares have just been so amazing today. And what struck me was this line. It also indicated that strenuous work, one alcoholic with another was vital to permanent recovery. And so many times when we're reading, I'm drawn back to, for whatever reason, page 25, which is the page that means so much to me, where it says, we had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we had been living it. And, you know, when I used to hear about, you know, the strenuous work involved in recovery, you know, I would kind of recoil and think like, I don't have time for this. You know, there has to be another way. And what finally occurred for me, what I finally realized was that the way I was living required a lot of work. It required a lot of work to be in denial about what this disease was doing to me. It just took a lot of work to live that way and to be in so much pain every day to force myself through the day. And it's actually less, it feels like less work to do it this way, to do the step work, to have a sponsor, to take action that maybe I don't totally believe in yet, but starts to mean something eventually. You know, it's like I finally realized I only have these two options. It's either the work to be in the disease, because it is work and it is pain, or it's the work of recovery, which leads me somewhere so much better. And I'm just really grateful to like so many people have shared to know that today, because it took me a really, really long time to get to that point. And, anyway, just really grateful to be on the line and thanks everyone for doing service and for this meeting. I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Christina M. in Massachusetts. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P.
please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, Alice, thank you. It's an honor. This is Dana P., recovered in California. And let's just take a moment for the still suffering compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you so much, Dana P., and thank you